Isaiah 44. Several of these chapters in Isaiah, of course, this is a message that is directed to the Jewish nation, but also directed to the people of God, the church. Even in the margin of my Bible, or in the caption above the chapter, and in chapter 43 as well, God's church comforted. So it is a message to the Jewish nation, but generally it's a message to the people of God, not only of that time, but of every generation that was to come, including you and me. Amen. Praise the Lord. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I like to hear a good report, don't you? I really do. And I know that this morning I was kind of coming on a little strong about the need for revival, and I did so because I really feel it in my heart. I feel it that it's such an urgent message, an urgent need. Let's read here in Isaiah 44, "Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen, thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water courses." Amen. What a great promise to the people of God. Have you ever been really thirsty? Physically, have you ever been really thirsty? They say that if you begin to feel excessive thirst, that you are already beginning in the beginning stages of dehydration. If you're just feeling a great deal of thirst. And so they know the old rule is you're supposed to drink 8 glasses of water every day. That doesn't mean Coca-Cola or iced tea or coffee. That means water. And you know, when you consciously do that, it's not an easy thing to do. I drink a lot of water, but if I feel like I have to and get under the pressure of that, it's kind of a hard thing to get accomplished, but they say it's an important thing if you want to make sure that you are hydrated to the level that you need to be. That's in the physical. In the spiritual, the same thing is true, that it's very easy to get dry quick, to spiritually dehydrate very, very quick. If you've ever been dehydrated, it is a horrible, horrible feeling. Have you ever been really dehydrated? I've had just only one experience coming out of India. I've mentioned it before, and I was feeling really sick. And so I happened to be able to arrange a deal to be on a flight that was a first-class flight, which is an amazing blessing if you're flying on about a 10-hour, 9 or 10-hour flight. And but I was feeling exhausted and I was feeling sick, and you can't hardly come out of Indy without feeling a little bit sick. But there's all kinds of strange viruses and bugs in India, I know. So I was feeling bad, and so I got on that flight and I got in that wonderful first class seat, and I went out. I slept almost the entire flight, and that's not a good thing. Because you're supposed to continually, while you're in that cabin of that plane, you're supposed to hydrate yourself. You're supposed to drink lots of water on really long international-type flights. And I didn't do that. I slept the whole time. So when it came time to get off the plane, I was in Milan, Italy. And no one knew I was there. Not even Marcia knew I was there. I had arranged to get on this flight because they were asking for people to take the plane was full, and so they were asking people to take a different flight. They came down the line asking, and I said, "I'll take it if you'll put me in first class." And so they took me up to the to the front, and they did. They put me in first class, and I thought I was really going to have a glorious, wonderful time, and I did sleep really good, and I thought, I'll sleep, I'll wake up, I'll feel good, but I woke up, and I felt horrible. I never felt so weak in all my life. I thought, I'm going to die in Milan, Italy, and no one will know where I'm at. And I'm trying to get through the lines and trying to get out into the airport. And it's the middle of the night, like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And every station to get water, every one of them was closed. There was no place to get water. I was so weak. I just laid down on a seat, a bench, and just thought, Lord, here I am. I'm going to die here in this place. And I found a phone and called my wife and told her what was going on and where I was at. And that I was bad sick. And I was so weak, I didn't think I could walk another step. It's a terrible, terrible feeling to be dehydrated. And long story short, the Lord worked it out for me to get some juices and some water and some things so that I revived and was ready for the next flight home. And praise God, I didn't die in Italy. It is a terrible thing to be dehydrated. The spiritual application of that is really clear, that you can find yourself in such a predicament spiritually that you are so weak and you have no strength, no power, no ability to do anything. And when you're in that condition, you just really feel like giving up. You just feel like, what's the use? Why put forth any effort? I just don't have what it takes to move forward. Do you know that, and I said this morning, but I want to try to just reemphasize it here tonight, and that is that we cannot afford for the church to be dry in a time like this. We just cannot afford to be spiritually dry at a time that is really probably the most difficult, the greatest crisis time of our country that we're moving into right now. I'm talking about the spiritual condition of our nation that is just getting worse and worse and worse and moving further away from God and from the things of God. You see, the thing about thirst is that you can satisfy your thirst, but in just a few hours that goes by, you need another drink. And you need another drink. It's this perpetual thing. And so for people who have made the mistake of thinking that I can pray and I can do pretty good spiritually for a while, it doesn't take long at all for you to find yourselves just depleted and weak and in need of help from the Lord and strength and power to be able to do what the Lord wants you to do. Have you ever been spiritually thirsty? Are you tonight spiritually thirsty? Do you desire, is there a desire in your heart for more of the things of God, for more of the power of God, more of His presence in your life, more of the knowledge of His Word? Do you have a desire for that, or have you filled up your life with all other kinds of desires? You know, you can be thirsty and you really... Desire is what motivates you to do what you do, and it's easy to get so distracted from the thing that you were created for. That's what Isaiah is saying here to the people of God. Thus saith the Lord, that made thee, that formed thee from the womb. You were created by God to walk with God, to know God, to fellowship with God, to live in this experience of fellowship and the presence of the Lord. You were created for that purpose. Amen. Everyone on this planet was created to know God, created to have a relationship with the Lord. And you need to have that kind of a desire. Hopefully you're not filling up your life with a desire and a thirst for a lot of other things. People thirst after wealth. They work and they try and they save and they do everything, and they expend all of their life energy to accumulate material goods. And oh, how disappointing it is. Amen. That people who have all of this wealth, and they die and they leave it to this old world. Amen. What a disappointment that it is. Some people, their life is motivated. Their desire is for material things in this world. But it all is passing away. It's all temporary. And what a terrible mistake to allow your affection and your desire to be upon the things of this world. Wealth. Sometimes it's work or career or your man-made plans. And we all know that we have been created for a purpose, and we all have a place out there in the world where God places us to influence and to be a witness, and thank God for the opportunities that we have. Amen. We often say that we are not just a plumber that's a Christian. We are a Christian first. We just happen to be a plumber. Or we just happen to be whatever a vocation that you're involved in. Above all else, you are a servant of the Most High God. Wherever you are, on your job, and in your place of duty and responsibility. So your work should not be the thing that you fill up your whole life with just career and the things of this life. What a mistake it is to do that. Only God first. Make sure that your appetite and your thirst is for God above wealth, above influence, above work, above career, above everything, above knowledge. Knowledge is good. Education is good. It has its place, but it's also very dangerous. It can replace your need for God. If you have a pursuit and a love, and that's the desire of your heart, and that's what you're pursuing, and you just put God on the back burner somewhere, then it's a serious mistake. But your thirst and your desire, it will drive you to do what you do and what you fill up your days doing. Some desire fame and to be known of men. Others, they desire, love and things of this world, relationships, and all those things have their place as far as God's plan in our life. But even the pursuit of those things above a relationship with God and above a thirst for the things of God is a terrible, terrible mistake to pursue all of these things. Why? Because you were created, you were formed, and you were born into this world, and you have a divine purpose, and that is to know God and to make God known through your life activities, through your vocation, through your daily responsibility and duty everywhere that you go. So make sure that your thirst is not for the things of this world, but your real thirst, your real desire is for the things of God. And if things have changed in your life and you're at a place right now where a lot of other things have taken priority over your desire for the things of the Lord, then we need to stop. We need to reevaluate. We need to look very closely at the things that have gotten our affection and our desires. So you need to take time. I've been thinking a lot about different topics. The song that was it's a John Wesley hymn, "Take Time to Be Holy." Now, the Wesley brothers were so mightily used of God, they changed nations. And John and Charles Wesley changed nations. They literally turned the course of the nations. And the most of the religious crowd of that day, they rejected them and resisted them. Some of them would not even allow them to minister in their churches. And so they took to the public arena and they preached wherever that they had an audience. And they had audiences of hundreds and thousands of people that were hungering and desiring to know about God. Take time to be holy. If you want your heart and your affection to be changed and to be reevaluated, then take some time to do that. And really, revival, it's wonderful, and God moves in a lot of different ways, and historically He's done that in revivals. He's worked in local churches. He's worked in communities. He's worked in regions, and even national revivals have taken place. It's a wonderful thing, but really, all of these revivals had their start in the individual hearts. They had their start in a heart that began to thirst after God. They began to call upon the things of the Lord. And so take time to be holy. Set aside some time. If you recognize, you know, I've really messed up. I've got my priorities all wrong. I'm all of my desires and my affections are for the things of this world. And they may not be sinful things, but they have taken the place of your commitment to God. And so you need to take some time and reevaluate. You need to take some time and allow God to speak to you and this is the development of a personal revival. That needs to take place in my heart. It needs to take place in your heart. Each one of us individually. When it takes place there, then it's such a wonderful thing because it begins to have an effect upon everyone that is around us. Amen. So verse 2 really describes the fact that we were created to have this kind of relationship with God. And then the promise that he has given to the people of God is that I'm going to pour water upon the thirsty. If you start developing that desire for the things of God, you take some time to be holy. You take some time to be in the presence of God. You spend some time calling upon the Lord in prayer. Amen. The scripture says if you'll do that, you'll see the power of God. You'll see the glory of God. Psalm 63 in verses 1 and 2. Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. God has promised to those who develop this thirst for the things of God, that God has promised that he will pour out upon the thirsty. Hallelujah. Take time to be holy. Spend time in the presence of the Lord, calling upon the Lord. Take time to be in the Word of God. Allow God to speak to you. Let it be a personal word to you. If you'll give God some time, he will talk to you. Amen. Amen. You need to slow things down. You need to allow all these earthly pursuits. You need to step back and make a commitment to the Lord. And Lord, I'm going to put you first. I'm going to spend time in your presence. I'm going to take some time in your word. Amen. And don't treat God like a vitamin, like every morning I've got to have my little God fix. I've got to have a few verses and say my little prayer. No, God doesn't want that to be just something that we accommodate. God wants to be our all in all. Amen. He wants to be our all in all. So take time with the Lord. Take time with the word of the Lord. Let God speak to you through his word. Psalm 119, open verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things from thy law. Verse 19. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. You see, the word of the Lord is like treasures that you begin to pursue after the things of God. And then at the level of your desire and your hunger, God begins to reveal himself to you through his word. Amen. He gives you answers to problems that you could never know the answer, that there is no answer outside of God, outside of his presence, outside of his word. Take time to be holy. Let it be a personal revival, first of all. And as you seek after the Lord, he has promised, I'm going to pour water upon him that is thirsty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know what happens in a crisis? What happens in a place like Haiti when there's been a horrible earthquake? What happens in many other of these disasters, hurricanes? The first critical thing that all of these responders have to be concerned about is there a clean water supply? That's the number one thing. That's first and foremost. They have to make sure before there's any other kind of rescue efforts, there has to be a plan in motion to make sure, because people in that kind of a crisis and in any kind of situation, they can't survive very long without good water. They're not going to be able to do that. So they send it in by the truckloads and by the container loads into these crisis situations. They send the water in to make sure that they're going to be able to be rescued and survive after the rescue. That's the circumstance of the church world today, where a lot of people in a lot of churches, it's just nothing but emptiness, it's spiritual death, it's dryness. God, help us to pursue after the things of God individually so that it will begin to spill over, and that every time we come to the house of the Lord, it is not dead and dry. It is not lifeless. It is not just church as usual, but there's something going on. There's the supernatural. There's the working and the moving of God in our midst. It is not a spiritual drought. Oh, but instead that we're calling on the Lord. And He has promised, if you call on Him, if your desire is to seek after Him, He has promised, I'm going to pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the promise of God. And it begins with you and I individually in this pursuit. Take time to be holy. Get alone with God. Spend time with the Lord. Spend time in His Word. Spend time with good godly spiritual resources. If I begin to feel myself just drying up on the vine, I know from experience that I have to spend some time. I have to get alone with God. I have to get alone with not only with the Word of God, but I also read a lot of different things. I read about revivals. I read about great moves of God, great outpourings of the Spirit of God, and it stirs my, it develops my desire, my hunger for the things of God. I just stir up an appetite to see God move. Amen. Amen. So when I read about historical revivals and great moves of God and how that God has used different ones down through the history of the church, it stirs my desire, my hunger for the things of the Lord. So take time in prayer, take time in the Word of God, and then get alone with God and get with some spiritual, good, godly spiritual resources that are gonna stir your desire for the things of God. Amen. Glory to God. We need a personal revival. During this time, if you find yourself in a spiritual drought, then it's a crisis. It's a serious thing. It can't be ignored. You're going to find yourself so spiritually weak that you're going to lose interest in the Word of God. You're going to lose interest in worship. You'll lose interest in the things of God, the work of God. And you'll be so spiritually weak that you cannot do anything and accomplish anything. You need a spiritual, personal revival. Amen. And let Him pour water upon a dry and a thirsty land and flood your soul with the mighty presence of God and the Spirit of God. Get alone with God. Take time to be holy. Let God do that work in your life. Amen. What's caused the spiritual drought? A lot of things. Sometimes it's our bad desires, as I've already been describing. Sometimes it's just self-will, sinfulness, iniquity, things that have taken hold of our lives and taken our affection. And we know that if we regard iniquity in our heart, God is not going to hear us. So in this time of personal pursuit, personal revival, then you're spending time in the presence of the Lord and you're letting God deal with you about all those things that aren't pleasing to Him. All of those evil, wicked things, those thoughts that shouldn't be there, that attitude that shouldn't be there, that whatever that it might be, it could be many, many things that have grabbed your affection and your attention, and it has become a sin in your life because you've allowed it to rob you of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Take time to be holy. Spend some time in His presence and allow Him to search you and make sure that there's nothing that separates you and the Lord. Nothing that's there in the pathway. Remove it. Clear it out. And then be restored back to the Lord. Psalm 51 describes David's heart's desire. He had sinned with Bathsheba. It was a horrible thing. And from the description there in Psalm 51 was that he was so fearful that he had lost the presence of God in his life. David was a born worshiper. Amen. Wherever he was at, if it was out taking care of his father's sheep or wherever he was at, he was giving glory to God. He was a worshiper. He spent his life in the presence of the Lord, and now he's committed this horrible sin of adultery and murder. And now he's saying, "Don't take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Renew a right spirit in me." He was praying a prayer, "Get me back into fellowship with you, Lord." And it may be that you need to pray that kind of a prayer. "Lord, restore my fellowship with you." How important is it? It's of utmost importance that we have this personal revival. "I'll pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground." Now look at this verse, the last part of verse 3. "I will pour my spirit upon thy seed." Amen. Hallelujah. You want to see your sons and your daughters touched by the power of God? You want to see the next generation, these young people that are around you, you want to see God working through their lives in such a mighty way? Well, it begins with the first part of the verse, where we have this personal time with the Lord when He pours His Spirit out upon us, and our dry relationship with the Lord becomes once again alive and something that is overflowing, and it has an effect upon our children. "I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring." Hallelujah. What's the answer to seeing this generation turn their hearts completely toward God? Mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, you and me, we've got to do it first. We're going to have to lead the way. We're going to have to show them by example. We're going to have to show them that this is what we really desire. This is the desire of our heart. And when they see that, then they'll begin to receive the benefit of it. And there will be this overflow that will affect the succeeding generation. Hallelujah. I'll pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water courses. Hallelujah. Amen. Their life will begin to be fruitful, and they'll enjoy the blessing of the Lord, and they'll understand that God has a plan for them, and that plan is for them to be fruitful and to grow and to know God and to live for the Lord. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty for the things of God? Amen. I'm glad that when I get thirsty in the physical, I can just walk into the kitchen. I can get a bottle of water if it's there. If it's not, then there's this little thing right in the door. Amen. Plenty of ice and plenty of water. Praise God. Amen. Readily available for every one of us in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to be in that condition of being spiritually dehydrated. You need to get a hold of God. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Let's seek the Lord. This week, July 8th, 9th, throughout this week, let's seek the Lord this week. We've got some kids that are going to camp. One or two this week going to camp, and several others going to camp the following week. And let's pray that God will pour His Spirit out upon us, and that in these next coming weeks that it will just overflow on all these young folks. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's been too long since we've had long lingering times around the altar with people crying out to God. It's been too long. What's happened? We're weak. We're dehydrated spiritually. We need God to come rushing in. And He will, where He's wanted, where He's desired, where He's welcomed, He will. We need to change our affection and our desire. Hallelujah. Not only will He pour out His blessing upon our children, but He will plant them by the river. He will cause them to be stable and strong and productive and in a place where they can be used by God. Amen. And that's what we want to see more than anything. Hallelujah.